disappointed that Congress is before us. In Detroit, a Pontiac, Michigan youth was reported dead at the scene of a head-on collision on Grand Avenue this morning. The youth was reported for driving on the wrong side of the boulevard when he struck a delivery truck and was catapulted through the windshield of his car. The driver of the truck is reported to be uninjured. The identities of both men are being withheld by local police. County legislators today are expected to rally to the aid of striking longshoremen in hopes of ending the 9-month
Podcast Rock City. This is our first episode of love for our favorite band, Kiss, in various and different forms of our favorite band we will be talking about. And I wanted to tell everybody that the one thing you want to know before we get started is not everybody in this room loves the new Kiss. And that's important because I don't want anybody going, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, you're going to get honest opinions here and then you can give us your opinions back of what we say. And I wanted to introduce you to everybody and give you kind of a visual of how we're sitting. To my left is Trey. Say hello.
Hello.
To his left is Lee.
Oh yeah.
To her left is Rick.
Well, all right.
And I'm Joe. And I guess we'll just get started because I don't want to waste any time. Basically, what we're going to talk about in this show is, for the majority of it, is how we got into Kiss. So people who are listening can understand who we are and how much we love the band. I'll go ahead and start. I probably was about 8 years old. And I walked across the street like a lot of 8-year-olds did to the neighbor across the street who was older, and he had the
hey there.
He had the Kiss Mego dolls, and I was like, what is
what
that?
What year are we talking?
It was probably 78, okay. I think. And then I was about 8 years old, and I was like, what is this? And he was like, oh, you don't know Kiss? And he put on a record. I want to say it was Love Gun. I was just looking at the cover going, my God, this is the most amazing thing. And it pretty much took off from there.
What was you listening to prior to this discovery?
Barry Manilow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
Barry Manilow, the Beatles, Elvis.
Beatles takes the Barry Manilow card away.
Right.
I was pretty much musically influenced by my mother, whatever my mother had. Mm. And when we were in the radio, listening to the radio, you know, it was a lot of, you know, Hall & Oates and R&B type stuff. And I can't remember if it was before or after Kiss. It was probably after, but I remember a lot of Wings as well.
You went from a fanalo to the Kiss Army.
Yes. That's the way it works, I guess. And, you know, in my lifetime, I don't know how many times I've seen Kiss, a ton of times. I haven't traveled as much as other people have to see them, but I did go to the Cobo Hall show for the Alive 35 show, and nice. According to some people, it wasn't real Kiss, but still it was an amazing...
You saw what... half of Kiss would have been like playing at the Cobo Hall in 75.
Well, okay, that's fine. It was still fun and amazing, and it was a cool experience. I had a great time, and I've been on the two Kiss cruises. That was a lot of fun. Not only because of being a Kiss fan and it's all about Kiss, but some of the acts that they bring on the show, you know, on the boat with them they're really great. You know, bands you would have never heard of, like Adler was the, you know, Steven Adler's new band.
That's cool.
And I have a really funny story. I woke up the first morning of the cruise and I was standing in the hallway looking at these posters that some fans just put on the wall. And they were all vintage. Like, they trusted people just to leave these posts. And they did. And all the way down the hall, I see this guy in his PJs coming towards me with the long blonde hair. And as he's getting closer, he stops and he's looking at the posters with me. And he goes, "Man, I had that one. And I had that one. And I had that one." And it was...
Do you have some heroin?
It was Steven Adler, man. Awesome. It was Steven Adler. And, you know, I played it off totally cool. I wasn't going to be like, "Dude, you were in Guns N' Roses. You totally blew it." No, I'm... you know, but... along with Lee here, we had the opportunity to get on stage with Bruce Kulick and play Rock and Roll All Night with him.
Yes, what an honor.
I
was so nervous.
It was an amazing... And she sang and did a great job. And if you ever get a chance to see the video, and I'll post it eventually, you can see that Bruce had no faith in what we were about to do, because
he was scared.
He went. There's been a whoo, yeah. No practice. So what you get
is what you get.
But it was really good.
I think he was happy with our performance.
Oh, I think so too. He was happy enough where he took pictures.
He actually told me I did a really good bass line, because a lot of people don't get that bass line. I was so honored that I was told by Bruce Kulick.
Sure.
And of course you'll hear more about, you know, what I've done as a Kiss fan. But I want everybody else to talk. So you want to go to Rick next? Okay, go Rick.
Well, when I was kind of like you in the sense I wasn't a fanalo, but I was listening to just basically stuff that my parents listened to on AM radio, you know, just whatever, Convoy and stuff, you know. And my brother come home from school one day, and you know, and having said this, my parents are not very big music people. They just are just kind of casual listeners, you know, of music. And my brother comes home from school and he goes, "Man, this kid brings this album to Show and Tell. It's this band. They're called Kiss. They wear makeup like on their faces. This one guy has these dragon boots. Their songs are about car wrecks and parties." And I'm just like, "Wow." You know, and all I was really kind of, you know, familiar with at this time was like the Monkees. And I liked the Monkees because they were four, you know, individuals, and they had a cool car, and their songs were good, and girls liked them.
And they were dreamy.
You know, they were dreamy.
Monkees were cool.
Right. So, you know, my dad goes, "Well, all right." So he took us to Kmart, and I remember buying this album from my brother, and I was just thinking, I cannot believe my dad is buying this record. This is just, you know, beyond his imagination.
This is out of character.
Very, very much so. So we go home, and I remember we put it on this huge turntable that we had. It was like furniture in the living room, and we all listened to it.
Did it have a lift-up top?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And there was a radio and everything? Oh,
right.
Sweet,
gigantic.
Sweet.
And I can remember, you know, everybody in my family just kind of sitting there listening to this first side of Kiss Destroyer, and I was just blown away. I thought, man, this makes the Monkees just look sort of tame, you know, And then I wanted to, you know, I was just hooked. At this point, I wanted everything Kiss. I wanted to go buy more records, and I wanted to be them for Halloween. I wanted to figure out how to make costumes like them. I wanted everybody to know about them. And I was like one of the first kids in my neighborhood to ever be just this ridiculous Kiss fan. You know, I'd write it on anything. You know, dirt, pollen, Kiss. Notebooks, Kiss, you know.
The makeup outlines.
Absolutely.
Oh,
all
yeah.
My notebooks.
I used to see these pictures like in Hit Parade or magazine or Circus or, and it may even been other magazines like Grooves or whatever back then. And then people would draw pictures of Kiss and I would go, "Man, that's really good. Now, why don't they try to draw them without the makeup?" You know, they do such a good job with them looking just like an actual photograph. Why don't they try to draw them without the makeup? Nobody ever saw that, but that's how I got into Kiss. I mean, that Destroyer just opened the whole world of music up to me. And right shortly after, I got Alive 1 and then just worked my way back, Dressed to Kill, Hotter Than Hell. Mm-hmm. And even, yet again, Hotter Than Hell was an album that I was really surprised that my parents bought for me, with a girl with a star over a nipple, yes, all sprawled out, you know, and everything.
It's a little
and
risque.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and Gene Breathing Fire actually on the back of the album and everything. Right. It was just very a bizarre cover, but my parents didn't even bat an eye. They're like, here, take this and go listen to it, you know.
Leave us alone.
Yeah. So that's, and then from that point on, it's turned into a whole, you know, lifestyle. I mean, obviously, I've traveled to go see Kiss. I have Kiss. We all have Kiss tattoos, but, you know, a Kiss room, vanity plates on my car, it, you know, it just never ends.
That's awesome. I love that. I don't think I've ever heard you tell that whole story. And I'm, it's interesting that you were so shocked that your father would buy that record for you, because I listen to you tell stories about your father, and mm-hmm. he's very,
yeah, you know. Really an in the box kind of guy, and very, you know, PG-13 is right. You know, that's too much for him. Buffy the Vampire Slayer freaks him out. You know, I mean, he's that kind of guy. What are we watching here? You know, this is unbelievable. Why is this on TV? But, you know, and he could have easily said, "You're not going to have this album or whatever." Here, go listen to Barry Manilow. You know, like your friend down the street, Joe. You know, and then there was this one girl who lived down the street from me. It was the only other girl I knew that liked Kiss, and I found out through her cousins who lived like three or four houses down from me. And they said, yeah, my cousin Cindy is a big Kiss fan. But I was like in, I don't know, third or fourth grade, and she was like in the eighth grade. And me and her, it was like we were just friends, but it was funny because it was like there was no age barrier. We could sit there and talk about Kiss all day long, and it wasn't like, oh, this girl's much older than me, or this is just a kid, you know. But it was just like we could talk about Kiss on any level, and, you know, and I've often wondered, you know, does this girl still even like Kiss or give a shit or even think about them, you know?
That's cool.
Tater, what do you think about Kiss?
Yeah. You want to go, Lee? Go.
Oh, boy. Well, the year was 1975. I believe I'm probably the oldest one here. I was 11. Okay. My oldest brother brought all this stuff home. Aerosmith, Beatles, Queen. I mean, he would sit there with his big huge headphones on and right. just have it on. So one day I was before that, okay, I loved the Partridge Family.
Oh yeah,
okay,
sure.
Let's just get
okay,
that out
hey,
there.
Hey, that's fine.
And Tony Orlando and Dawn.
Right.
And then all the other 45s
Captain
I had.
Tennille. Yeah.
No, I was not in the game.
Oh.
But anyway,
love.
Keith Partridge was my first love.
Right.
But anyway, he had the Kiss Alive album, and I just saw it there, and I just grabbed it. I'm like, what is this? You know, he's like, that's Kiss. That's a really cool new band, you know. And so I took it upstairs to my room, and I had my green, like, plastic record player that flipped up.
Right.
Really terrible.
Sweet.
And I put it on, and that was it. Since the rest of my life, like, Kiss has been my favorite thing.
I just
fell in love with it. My best friend Donna also fell in love with Kiss. So we were constantly putting the makeup on, having little concerts in the basement in the neighborhood.
The picture
with
the
tennis rackets.
The
yeah, I have them. I still have the
Donna.
Pictures. I used ketchup for blood.
Sweet.
That's back when she was playing the Wilson.
Yep, the Wilson. we had pins on the end of the tennis rackets, and we had balloons with confetti in them.
Right.
And we'd hit the pop, and the confetti
terrific.
Would come out. Yeah, we
that
had firecrackers.
Story.
And the kids would pay a quarter to come in.
I like that there was the whole capitalistic Kiss aspect.
It was a quarter.
You know,
yeah,
even back
yeah.
then as a child, it's like, you know.
And then my mother would be like, you kids are going to get zits from that makeup. And we're like, we don't care.
Right.
Cover them with more makeup.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the makeup was so cheap, I don't even know where we got it. And I'd have to wear a Kiss item to school every day, like the belt buckle or a necklace or something. My one school picture, my mother said, you're not wearing any Kiss. You wear this nice sweater. And, of course, I took a pin and put it in my pocket, put it on at school. I got in a lot of trouble.
Peter Criss
pin. Yeah. I just grabbed any pin, you know.
What did the Peter Criss pin look like?
It's just one that they made, those big round ones they used to make. You could bring a picture in. Just
oh.
pictures of
oh,
his
okay.
face.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
I
have the photo.
That's pretty awesome.
Terrible. But my parents let me put posters all over my room. Like, they just didn't care.
Right.
I don't think they even realized, or I, what the lyrics were.
Oh,
the
I know.
Songs.
Oh,
yeah, like, yeah, put your hand in my pocket.
And grab onto
I'm
my
sitting
rocket.
There 11, 12 years old singing this. I mean,
yeah.
I had no idea.
Right. Meet you in the ladies' room.
I just didn't know. And they didn't care.
It wasn't
care
until
and,
I became an adult that I figured out what.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was like Kiss taught me sex
gun.
Ed.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I was like, oh,
exactly.
Okay.
You know, so it just continued. I never lost my love for Kiss. Even in, you know, when they took the makeup off, I still went to other shows.
Yep.
A lot of times I went alone because I grew up in New York. I got down here in Atlanta later, but I went to a lot of shows alone. And you would just meet people there because Kiss fans are just like, just friends already.
Right.
Like, I would just go by myself and I'd have five new friends.
Right,
you
right.
know, it was just, they're such cool people.
It's funny, and even, like, and to prove that point, how I met you.
Oh, I met Rick.
How right. you met Rick.
All it, of us.
It's like,
Trey,
you, I was working
Kiss.
Parking at a club.
Yeah.
You drove up, you paid the parking, you drove by, I looked at the back of your car,
yep.
I saw stickers
I
of Kiss, I ran to you, and I gave you your money, and I said, you never
yep.
pay for parking
it's
here.
Awesome. I
and, yeah. And that, and it's true, you know. Mm-hmm. Somebody finds out that you're a Kiss fan. I mean, they see my tattoo and
it's
they go
an instant friendship.
Oh, yeah, man.
And I've met so many cool people at Kiss Expos. They're all like my best friends now.
Sure,
yeah.
It's like
you
a family.
You just get each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and then usually, you know, when I'm talking about Kiss, like wherever I am, Facebook or whatever, you have to understand that you are talking to that 12-year-old person.
Right.
So I'm here, too. Like,
yeah,
if we
yeah.
start getting into it, I'm 12 years old when I'm speaking
right,
to Kiss.
Sure.
Right.
So just, I'm just going to put that out there.
And you've had some amazing experiences where
yeah,
where
yeah.
you've where you've been able to you were able to meet Gene.
Yeah, I never thought
and
things that I've accomplished I never thought would happen
yeah.
when I was 12,
I
you know.
You know, and with VH1 and, mm-hmm. and being, what is that called?
The VH1 Fan Club
Fan
was
Club.
In 2000. Yeah.
And that was actually the first time I ever mm-hmm. saw you
yeah.
was on that. And it was amazing because they were just taking you around your room and they were showing you
and
stuff.
That, and they never said I was going to meet Kiss. They were just, we want to come and look at your house because I had it covered in Kiss. You
right.
know, and that was it. But then they called me later and we said, we want to fly you to Clarkston, Michigan, I think it was.
Right.
And we want you to go backstage and meet Gene. And I almost... You know,
I shot the video Oof. For her VH1.
The submittal, know, yep.
Yeah, the
to
submittal.
Get on the show.
Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, let's videotape this. And we went in through her front door, you know, and walked in there. She is standing.
And
there.
I don't even have half the stuff then.
Oh
that
my
I have
God,
now.
I know.
Oh
right.
my God, you have more. I mean,
I've
like
gotten so much more stuff.
I remember going into your house for the first time, and I remember like mumbling to myself, "It's true, sir." I went, I might as well stop collecting because I ain't ever going to get to this
yeah.
level.
It did get out of control.
It is like I'll never forget the day I ran into you and you said, "Hey, do you know where to get that Kiss bust where they all have look like they have herpes on their lips?" And I go,
"I never said that."
No. I go, "What are you talking about?" And you said, "They're all LEDs." And the LEDs all around, and you go. Do you remember now?
No,
you called
don't.
It. You said it's the they like Kiss herpes, and I was like, oh my God, because yours stopped working or something like that.
Yes.
It was so funny, but that was the way that. And I was like, you know what, Lee? I have to tell you, I've only seen that at your house. It's like
yeah.
there's so many things, and then of course, when you walk in, you see the pinball machine, and I'm
yeah,
sure
that's
everybody's
my favorite.
Drawn to that.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Oh yeah,
Trey.
Well, I will continue off of my dad's story, being that he got me into Kiss. The first image I...
Your dad being Rick.
Rick. Rick is... Yes.
Well, I guess I should have backed that up, but...
Yeah. Thanks.
It could be anyone.
Proud son.
He's embarrassed.
Humiliated. Not about Kiss. It's everything else.
Yeah.
But the first image I can sort of put in my head that I remember was Rock and Roll Over, which I now have tattooed on my arm.
Nice.
Sweet.
The first memory outside of that was actually talking to my grandfather that bought Destroyer for him, my uncle, and told him they had a song called Hotter Than Hell. And he was like, you shouldn't say that. And being like, oh, I guess that's... That's not good, but
yeah.
But I'm still going to listen to the song and enjoy it.
Hotter than heck.
hotter than heck. Yeah, it just doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't get the doesn't roll off the tongue. But from there on out, and being interested in superheroes as far as the X-Men and Batman and anybody at that point, Kiss just seemed like the next step to be. They're superheroes, but they also play awesome music and
exactly, they were comic book heroes to me.
Right, you know, it's the only way to put it. They were these larger than life characters, and
you come in at the right time too. I mean, you know, when you were real little, Revenge was the album that was out. So as Trey got older, you know, when the reunion tour happened, his mom wouldn't let me take him to the reunion tour, and
I was in kindergarten.
Yeah, he cried. He was so upset.
Aww, little Trey.
Well, I told him, I said, but look, here's one thing you have to know about Kiss, Trey, is they're not done with this. You know, they will milk this tour for a while and come back, and there'll be an album, and you'll get to see them. And, you know, of course, Farewell Tour, he did get to see them. And I was glad
Psycho Circus come around, but it canceled out before
it came to Atlanta.
Yeah.
I saw three of those. I traveled.
Yeah. I didn't see Psycho Circus.
I didn't see that either.
The 3D technology.
Yeah.
Yeah, in your face.
Yeah.
It worked sometimes.
Yeah. Well,
you got to give it to them for trying something different, you know?
It did work some, depending on where you sat.
Yeah. Right. And you got to give it to them for trying. I mean, you know. Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Sure. You know, I mean.
I had heard, actually, that Doc McGee pitched the idea to Bon Jovi, and they said, no, I don't think it's going to work out for us. Yeah, so they were like, we'll do it. Why not? Yeah, it works for us. Kind of. Yeah.
Bon Jovi 3D. I don't know.
Bon Jovi 3D.
So yeah, you kind of come into it, you know, at the right time for a new fan, that you at least got to sort of experience what we got to experience 20 years earlier, at kind of the same age and everything.
Right.
You know?
I remember,
you just knew what they looked like first.
Right.
Yeah.
We didn't have any of that.
That
was what was cool.
That
about
was
it.
The mystery
could never happen today.
You know,
well, but I still remember being sort of, I don't know what I saw first as far as them without the makeup. But it was still kind of like, oh, wow, that's it, because I didn't see the MTV thing first. I think it was an album cover, either Creatures of the Night with Bruce on it, or Lick It Up, maybe.
I remember your teachers would always kind of be freaked out by the fact that Trey would always have Kiss, like, wrote, you know, down on notebooks or whatever, or draw pictures of Kiss, and his teachers would be like,
how does he know about
Kiss?
Well, I was actually going to lead into that. In kindergarten, I remember one of the teachers telling the Spanish teacher, tell Mr. Spanish teacher what your favorite band is. And at first I almost didn't want to say, because I thought he'd be like, what's wrong with you? You know, who are your parents? So I said,
calling your dad.
So I said Aerosmith, and they were like, no, what's the one, you know, you draw them all the time. And I said Kiss, and he goes, I like Kiss, and that's cool. And, you know, and I remember drawing them on the sidewalk in chalk, because we had a beach day, and they gave us chalk, so I drew big chalk Kiss in kindergarten style.
Kindergarten
everybody
style.
Everybody drew the logo.
Everybody did something. Yeah. I remember that, like, every time I would draw a member of Kiss, that I had like a template in my head. The head was like a triangle with round corners, you know? And then the hair went, and then I never could get Paul Stanley's star right, because it was always tough.
For the longest time, when I would draw the hair, it would always be like real blocky, kind of like Gene's is now.
Raccoon.
Baby Crockett.
Real helmet looking. But I remember Dad going, you should really make it more curly and squiggly. And, that does look more like
that's
hair.
You had a premonition.
That's what Kiss could do now. Gene could change his character to the raccoon, and Tommy could be the gopher. You know,
Woodland Critter Kiss.
That was a good
one.
Not
gonna do it yet.
Woodland Critter Kiss.
Okay, so now that everybody that's listening has a good idea that we're the real deal, we're fans, and I guess the first thing that I wanted to talk about was some news that I read. And what I read was that Gene tweeted that on New Year's Eve there's going to be a 40th anniversary celebration. Now, I have no idea what that means. Apparently nobody does but Gene. And you know, the one thing about Gene that I hear is that he throws stuff out there before he actually knows it's going to happen. That's why they always say, if you hear it from Paul, it's going to happen. Okay. If you hear it from Gene, it may not. Well, it may happen.
Right, man, there's been so many things that I've heard Gene claim that there's going to be a Kiss Broadway show and a Kiss amusement park.
Right. I heard that they were building Paul and Gene their own apartments in the Palms Hotel, so they could eventually
live together.
Settle there, and, you know, they could do their show.
They could do The Odd Couple. It'd be like the new Felix and Oscar.
That would be, I mean, that's what they are.
Two old Jews walking around.
Okay, so, all right, so here we go. For this show, 40th anniversary, let's say they do it in
Vegas.
No, it's got to be New York, obviously. And let's say it's at Central Park.
Times Square.
Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. But they, you know, they, knowing Kiss, they would want to put it in a place where a million people could show up.
Yeah.
Okay, 40th anniversary, look at us.
The Mojave Desert.
Okay. Okay. What would it take for you guys to say, I'm getting a ticket, I'm flying up there, I have to see this?
Peter and Ace.
Yeah.
Simple.
So no Tommy, no Eric, no
they
celebration, like a celebration of the whole
serving
band.
Serving spaghetti.
Like if they're serving, you know, cleaning the stage and stuff, but
yeah, right.
Ace and Peter are going to play and be
okay,
there.
Okay, so I want to break it down even more than that. Is that how you feel as well, Trey?
For the most part, if nothing else, if they would do it sort of unplugged style and maybe have it, you know, half a set, New Kiss, and then go, oh, we're going retro now, what everyone came for, and the big finale be
maybe they get Bruce
Ace
back.
And Peter.
And
right, that'd be cool.
Right. Well,
no
see,
Vinny,
that's
though.
What I'm asking. I'm asking.
No Vinny, though.
No Vinny.
No.
He will not be contacted.
Yeah, I'm sure they were not going to call him.
Yeah, because then there'll just be some lawsuit about 5 years later from
Vinny. But you know what? I would kind of feel let down if Vinny didn't get on stage and do, you know, Lick It Up or Aaron.
Yeah, they'd
would
probably
really,
have to invite
though?
Everybody that's
well,
still
sure.
living.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that if they were to get Peter and Ace, Tommy and Eric, Bruce, Vinny, and everybody come out and like rock and roll all night
fight
with everybody on the stage at the end of the show, I think would be pretty amazing. But, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, how would they do that? You know, would it be something that you think that they would right. just go, okay, we're going to start with Kiss. The beginning of the show is going to be Ace, Gene, Peter, and Paul, and we're going to play, you know, 10 of our classic Kiss songs. You know, then we're going to bring out Bruce and Eric Singer. You know, Eric can have like a blonde wig, and they can do Revenge.
Never used a wig, so a blonde wig wasn't too hard.
No, but he was a blonde, you know, when he joined the band.
Blonde raccoon wig.
You know, and then they could go away, and then, you know, and then, you know, Kiss 2.0 that you hate the most could come out and
everybody'd leave.
But then they would finish off the show right. with everybody on stage, you know, doing like
I would only stay
a killer version of like Black Diamond.
I would only stay for like 28 years of that.
Then I'd have to leave.
Yeah.
You know, so you would travel to see something like that, though. You would go, this
I
is
would.
The last time
yeah,
we're ever going to, you know. But even if Tommy and Eric are playing on the stage, mm-hmm. if as long as Ace and Peter are there, you're there.
I've gone to see Tommy and Eric playing several times. It's just because Gene and Paul are still there.
Right.
And I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to see them.
Yeah, well, I read that Gene said they have 5 years. They feel like they have.
So I still go when they're in town. I just don't travel anymore like I used to.
Right.
But if Ace and Peter were going to be there, I would travel for that.
Yeah, I would travel for that. I think I would, you know, it would be a big.
Because the Farewell, I did like 10 shows on that one.
Oh, I did probably five.
I did one.
Me too.
But still, that's okay. I was really poor at the time. And just the fact that I
got
a ticket
to
it was amazing.
Well,
and it was the first night in Atlanta, you know. And
but, you know,
great.
We were talking about just, you know, being a whole lifestyle of being a Kiss fan. You know, there's some things you just don't get to do, you know. I mean, there's been times mm-hmm. where I didn't see certain shows due to whatever. I mean, I've seen Kiss on every tour, but I didn't see as many or, you know, like the thing that they did, for instance, in Atlanta with the... It was right around the Revenge, July 3.
Oh, the club tour. They played the Cotton Club.
Yeah. And I didn't see that, but at the same time, I had a newborn, you know, Trey was just a little baby. A lot of that, you know, not right. just Kiss, but just concerts in general, and a lot of that was just put on hold, you know.
Such a burden.
Yeah.
Trey, you don't know what you ruined.
So, you know, I mean, but at the same time, I mean, you know, I've got to, you know, meet all four original members. I've met everybody in Kiss except for Eric Carr and Vinnie Vincent. That's the only two I've never met.
That's awesome. I've met everybody but Peter. Eric, of course. Mm-hmm. I had a buddy that I remember going into his room when we were in high school, and he had a Lick It Up album. He wasn't even a Kiss fan, but they were at the mall signing the Lick It Up album, and he had it completely signed. Nice. And I was just like, good grief, you know? But, okay, so I want to go around. I guess we all basically agree, you know, Ace and Peter would have to be there in order for us to make that pilgrimage to wherever. Now, would it matter where they were playing? We would go. Like, if they
United
said,
States,
if they're playing,
yes.
Yeah. If they said, right. We're playing the Forum
in Vancouver,
you know, you know, are we going to LA? I mean, we're going to, you know, you're going to hop a plane and.
Well, I think, like you said before, Kiss would have to put it in something. I mean, if they did it in the Forum, you know, you're talking like a 3-night deal, and you know that's going to sell out relatively quick.
Right, and but so, they said it's going to be New Year's Eve, so it. So if you think about it,
see, I'm thinking it's going to be something like Las Vegas. I've always said this about Kiss. I think that that's their next logical sort of step to take the Kiss dynasty.
A lot of people have, like Prince. You know, he
lives
there.
Well, you know, like Cher, Celine Dion, you know, whatever. Elvis has had a deal set up where you just go and see Elvis. He puts on, you know, 5 shows during the week. They basically live there, you know, and they can do it for 6 months out of the year. The other 6 months, they can just go do whatever the hell they want. And you basically can kind of curtail your vacation around your favorite celebrity. You don't have to wait for them to come to your town. And I think Kiss should have, you know, come up with the Kissino. And it'd be all
nice.
It'd be all Kiss related, you know. Blackjack dealers could have, like, you know, Kiss makeup on, and they already have the Kiss like slot machines, mm-hmm. and you could have like the felts on the blackjack tables. All
now, Lee, you've been in a casino. In at the Palms, right?
Yeah, they played at the Palms. I went to that.
Right,
yeah,
right.
I know.
They had the table with the
yeah. Right.
And on the cruises, they had the
really
casino.
Cool.
And they in,
I have the set of the chips, too.
Yeah, I have. You got me some of those.
Yeah, I did.
sure did. Okay, so here's the other part of that. How would you feel if, with the hologram technology of today, you know, we've seen the video where Tupac was on stage singing with
Snoop,
you know, and it's amazing.
I missed that. Sorry.
It's an amazing.
It was cool.
It is amazing.
Sure.
I mean, it looks like he's there. And wow. he is talking to Snoop.
Really?
And then,
it looks like he's there, but it still kind of has that Princess Leia quality of,
right,
help me,
yes.
Obi-Wan. You're
that's
my
what
only
I'm
hope.
Imagining.
But yeah, yeah.
Like
right,
that.
Right.
But yeah, yeah.
But
kind of pops in and out, right.
But to be fair, it has that quality about it, but it's still better. You know, but
I'm sure
but
technology
when you're,
from Star Wars.
Right.
But when you watch the video, for the first time, you're like, good grief, it's like he's there, you know? So with the technology, would you as a Kiss fan think it would be tacky for them to do a set on stage with a hologram Eric Carr playing the drum kit? Would it be tacky? Would it be like, you know, first of all, I'm not sure that they can even do it.
Right.
Because
well,
of, you know, who owns
tacky.
Eric Carr. And
I think it could be.
He'd have to talk to his family.
Yeah, I think it could be done well. I think this is something Kiss should explore or should have thought about this. Even, I don't know, over the last few years, is do things where they kind of maybe could even pay, like, tribute to, you know, members like Mark St. John. Even though Mark St. John was in there for a second, Eric Carr.
He was important.
Sure, but my thing is like, if you did these big video screens like they do, and you went and isolated everything else except for his solo, play around a piece of music that he did or Eric's drums, and have it, like, where Eric's playing like a drum solo, like Car Jam was done, you know?
Sure, sure.
And maybe incorporate that as far as not forgetting Eric Carr.
Tribute,
or,
yeah.
Yeah,
it's
you
not
know.
Not tacky at all.
I don't think so.
Sure. I actually, the way I thought about it was,
would be cool.
In the middle of the show, for them to leave the stage and, like, Eric Carr's animalized drum solo.
Yeah.
You know, or even the one he did in, you know, when he was in Australia in the makeup, you know. For me, he would have to be in the makeup. I would want to see that, you know. But, you know,
have it go in between, you know, intersplice with makeup,
sure.
Without, you know.
I mean, it's the same, pretty much the same solo.
Well, you could manipulate that, you know, you could manipulate it, I think. But, you know, like, for instance, and I know Kiss has done this in the past where Bruce and Eric would kind of jam together and kind of combine their solos. And I know on one of the tours, Tommy and Eric even did that. And I thought that was more fitting because, you know, let's face it, the drum solos and the guitar solos after a while just kind of become stale. Not just with Kiss, just with anybody.
Anybody, right.
You know,
unless
just
you're Tommy Lee and you're on a roller coaster.
unless you're going to bring something to it. But for the most part, it's just a big jerk off. You know,
they
everybody goes
get more songs in there.
Except
they cut
like
it
when
out.
Ace did it and stuff with the smoke and the
sure.
Sure, but that was then and now
Peter,
it's now
the
it's
rising.
Like
right,
now,
right.
Now cool. Nowadays though, it's only people our age that care that a guy can play his guitar very well.
Well,
you know, right. It's like they get up, oh, he's doing a solo. Great, I'll go get a drink.
I'm not saying that, you know, like Ace or Pete or anybody like that is just like was a big jerk off or Tommy Lee because they brought something to the to
right.
See.
It was exciting.
Yeah,
to
you
watch,
wanted to
visually.
See what they were going to do. Yeah. So that, you know, like I remember, you know, first time Peter Criss just come out front. And,
yeah,
then, and then he rose up. And then, you know, and it was like a different cats and the things. And then it was all these fireworks. So
a lot to look at.
Sure, a lot going on. Same with Tommy Lee. You know, he's always kind of, you know, amped it up. So that's not the problem. It's just that when you go see 100 bands, and 99 of those bands aren't doing that shit. You know, they're just going out there and just cranking on a solo
right.
And then or, you know, thing like that. But I'm saying if Kiss did it where, you know, let's say they... Even if they did it with Peter and Ace, even if it wasn't like the hologram thing you're saying, but even if they incorporated some sort of medley of past Kiss members and incorporated it in with this new Kiss, you know, I think more fans would warm up to the idea of that and not be, you know, because then they kind of get the best of both worlds. But, you know, I'm never going to be satisfied with Tommy and Eric wearing Peter and Ace's makeup.
Sure,
but,
sure.
But,
and a lot of people, you know. And a lot of people are like that. A lot of people are like that. We do have the two sides of this. You're going to have people that, like myself, that are just happy to have Kiss. You know, I can keep going and seeing the shows. I can keep living my childhood when they come around once a year or once every couple of years. I can keep going and hearing my favorite mm-hmm. songs. I can take my kid. To see them,
and I can see all that,
you know.
I understand,
and mm-hmm. But I also understand, you know, that for me, the makeup—it's
sacred, man.
It is
it's characters yes. They created out of their own sweat back then, sweat and tears,
right.
Creativity. It's their character,
you know. I think that Kiss dropped the ball where they could have gone and said. You know what we're really going to do for fans? We're going to give them two new members.
See, I could have accepted that.
Sure. We're going to give them
the 21st century Kiss, if you will.
Like Eric Carr was accepted with open arms.
No, and everybody and people would. And let me tell you, in my personal opinion, it would have created a massive new marketing thing for them. They could have put Tommy and Eric's face on anything, and people would have gone out and bought it because it would have given us new makeup, new action figures, new posters,
right.
New, you know, all. And maybe they're not, you know, you know what? I'm not going to say that because it can't be that they're not interested in doing that because they're always interested in making money. That's the, you know, that's the point of being a business, and that is what they are.
Well, I think also, I mean, look, as much as I don't like what's going on with New Kiss, I understand what's going on with New Kiss. I mean, Kiss doesn't want to become New Coke. You know, Coca-Cola says, we're going to change the formula, and we're going to give you another taste, and it's going to be even better. And then people go, yeah, no, it's not. So, see, I feel like Gene and Paul's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We're a brand. We want to keep it. You know, simple and make sure that everybody understands that it's four characters, but it doesn't really matter who the character is until somebody is Gene Simmons' character, then it's going to be a big deal. You
yeah,
know, right.
You're going to have people at the concerts with bombs going, before this guy takes the stage, I will take down.
But
new
I do remember Gene saying it didn't matter who, like Mickey Mouse at Disneyland, it doesn't matter who's wearing the costume. And I just disagree.
Yeah, I totally disagree.
No, I disagree.
The character is not.
But yeah. I would have no problem with them taking four guys that we've never seen their faces, designing new makeup for all of them, and going.
Once Gene and Paul are gone, man, it's done.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
But
I can't wait to see everyone when they have a fill in for those.
Sure.
Two.
Absolutely.
Oh, and it'll eventually happen.
Nick Simmons and Evan Stanley. They'll be like, we're the first band to ever use our children to take
right.
our places.
Are they though? I mean, I'm wondering.
Other than Van Halen, other than, as
oh
far
yeah,
as,
there you go, you Van know, Halen.
Let's not even go there.
Wolfgang, but but not replacing technically yes. replacing an original member, but
that's
not
still living.
Yes,
yeah,
let's be fair.
Let's not start.
And I think we all agree. And I know this is not Kiss related, but Van Halen to me is not Van Halen without Michael Anthony. Just like I never felt it was Van Halen without Dave.
Going to do an iconic reunion without Michael Anthony? Are you serious?
Who are you kidding?
Are you exactly. serious?
Yeah. He's like, you know, and I know it's totally off subject, but he's like everybody's best pal.
On Metal Show, he said he found out from the news. Like, they didn't even tell him there was a reunion. Like, well, he found out from someone
yet
else.
Again, I know we're sidebarring off of the...
it's related to Kiss because Gene discovered him.
That's yes, right. There you go. Okay. Thank you, Trey. Yeah. Work it in, baby. Yeah.
Sammy, in his book, said, I am surprised that Van Halen managed to get as far as they did because of their fights, their alcoholism.
Organization.
Yeah, he goes, it's really impressive they managed to acquire the dynasty that they did up until Dave left, because he goes, they were a mess. He goes, they were just a big, hot mess. And he goes, and that went way before I ever showed up. And he goes, and it was still pretty much a hot mess when I was in it, but I just kind of knew. That's why I think he hung with Michael, because... he was like,
Michael Sane.
Yeah.
And how about this, though? It is related to Kiss, because only now, or when we got older, did we find out that Kiss was pretty much the same way. You know, you had people, you know, even though Gene says, well, you know, most people don't understand that Peter and I have more in common. People think that Paul and I, you know, whatever. You guys didn't talk. Peter was getting high. Ace was getting drunk and high. Paul was getting drunk and high, apparently, you know, depending on the situation. Apparently not as often. You know, Gene was, you know, running around, you know, and every one of them, you know, somebody was in their ear going, you know, you're the reason why this band is so great. And, you know, and now only now do we find out, you know, Ace didn't play on, you know, everything. Peter didn't play on everything. You know, Peter didn't play on Dynasty.
He played on one song.
So it's like, it's really...
That also goes for Gene a lot of times, though, as far as bass lines he didn't play or
like, I remember reading that I Still Love You, Eric played
bass.
The bass on that.
And Eric doesn't play drums in I. On the Elders, you know,
didn't
play the lead in Flaming Youth.
When you hear about when you hear about these stories about how, you know, they weren't getting along, and they played us.
Ace is solo in that Resurrection of Destroyer.
It's terrible.
Solo.
I didn't notice.
I hate it. I hate it.
The real solo that they didn't use.
Did you hear the Detroit Rock City? 1-2 God, that was just weird.
Where they added Get Up in that one spot, and I was like, everybody's making a big deal about this remastered, and I'm like, you know,
I'll tell you what I like about remastered anything. It's because so many people think that when they hear the song, like when you hear Destroyer for the first time, that Kiss just sat down and that's just what they ejaculated out into vinyl. Boom, just like that. It was just that good, you know. And it's like, it's not. It goes through so many of these processes where I think it's cool to hear how an engineer will hear a song and then go back and go, we have got to take this out, and you've got to shorten this, and then...
we got to turn this up and that down.
And then you get to hear what it really sounds like.
Yeah, in that set, what was it,
The box set?
The box set. They had all the ones before they really mastered them.
Right,
really,
like Firehouse and stuff like
so
that.
Different. I'll tell you this. Eventually, that is going to be a topic for the show, is the box set, because I have a ton of thoughts on that. Because
weird stuff in there.
Yeah, and some of it I kind of felt let down by. But one of the other things that we're getting really close to the end of our hour, and so I wanted to really bring this up. When you hear about now about the fighting that went on and the how they didn't like each other and everything, do you sometimes feel like they pulled, like, you know, like you were played?
I didn't know as a kid, so I didn't care.
Right,
and I still don't. To me, it was magical. I didn't know what was going on.
They were like the super friends.
Yeah, and I didn't want to know.
Yeah, they all hung out, wore those costumes, and they were like they were in the
they could do no wrong.
Phantom of the Park. To me. Yeah,
right, right. Mm-mm. You know, because sometimes when I hear the stories, I kind of feel let down a little bit. I'm like, so all this time I've been listening to this song, it's not Ace Frehley?
Well, it's because you're finding out they're human beings.
Right,
they're not
sure.
the comic well, book guys we thought they were. You know, it's right. like they're human.
Well, it's, right.
It's like a marriage, a band. So, I mean, these things happen.
Well, you tell that story about the Kiss Coffee House when we met Ace and...
Which story?
Where he was wanting to mack on you, and, you know?
I'd love to hear that story.
Oh, well, I got my stuff signed by Ace at the Kiss Coffee House. What year was
it? When you say stuff, you mean your... My memorabilia.
My stuff. Sign.
Yes. My Alive 2 poster, because I have the whole set signed now.
Oh, but, God.
Yeah, so he signed.
Whatever the year that was that he was there, I don't know, 2006?
05, 06, somewhere.
It was the second year.
Okay, yeah. It was 07, because it opened in 06.
Okay, 07.
Yeah, so I signed, I had my 2 poster sign or something. And so I walk out the door, and his goon that was with him runs after me. He's like, excuse me. Who are you here with? I was like, my friends. He's like, are you here with your husband? I was like, no, I don't have a husband, you know. Are you here with your boyfriend? No. Oh, well, because Ace was wondering if he could have your number.
Wow. For real?
Yeah. And I said no, because to me, when it comes to Kiss, I'm 12 years old. I'm serious. There's nothing sexual with me with Kiss at all. I'm a child. Like, I revert to being immature and just sure. I'm 12 years old.
And... It just changes the whole perspective of...
Yeah, it's not... I don't want to bring adult themes into my Kiss world at all. Right. I really don't.
They
I mean,
do
people don't believe
that.
Me, you but it's wanna. True.
No, I believe you.
So
I understand.
Told... And I was just dying, you know, and my friend Wendy Moore, who wrote a book, she said, well, Ace likes tall women. That's why. So I was like, oh, okay, you know.
Right.
So then at the coffee house, I told our buddies Rich and Ant, and they're like, Ant's like, you could have gone and... Talk to him and got more stuff signed. I go, Aunt, I don't think that's what he was thinking.
Right.
No.
You know? Like,
he didn't want to fall down the stairs at his mansion.
It's like, yeah. I've got the rose Peter Chris gave me. I've got the broken
got
guitar that
yeah.
Paul gave me. I have the Gene Blood Cup. And
talk
this,
about me?
You know, I'm just going through the... And I've
that's
got this,
the stuff I have.
This soiled condom by Ace.
Oh, yeah, I don't want that in my collection. The Gene Simmons apple core from 1994 is the grossest.
The
thing.
Apple
right,
core,
right.
yeah.
It's remember. Like all petrified now. It's like
yeah.
this big.
Yeah, yeah right.
That's amazing.
I told her she should get it like dipped in like bronze or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Gene was
like,
eating an apple. I met him for the very first time at a hotel in 94. It was Blaze Fest. They didn't have makeup on or anything. And I was so scared in the lobby. I just sat on the couch and I couldn't move. And our buddy that runs the expos, Phil, he goes to Gene, this girl wants to meet you and get your autograph. And Gene just pulled me off the couch and just bear hugged me. And he was making that sex noise like, oh,
right.
And, like, humping my leg and I was just dying. Yeah, but then later he was eating an apple and he had the core and he was just holding it and I put my hand out and he gave it to me and I still have it.
That is awesome.
Is that?
I remember the first time I saw that I was like,
it's so stupid. It's just funny.
It's not stupid.
I keep it in the Gene shot glass.
I think it's really cool.
Oh, it's funny.
I was going to ask, which I don't think it's the same occasion, when you had the dental chart signed by...
Oh, yeah, they each signed one of my dental... notes. Yeah, right. I had like a dental paper. Yeah.
They were like teeth though. It was like
yeah.
It was like notepad, but each one looks like a tooth.
Oh, that's
cool.
Animated.
Each one of them signed.
Yeah, and when I was at that hotel at the same time, I was talking to Eric Singer. He was there and he was telling me about his teeth. And he was telling me all about his crown, gold crown or something. And then he kept telling Gene, "She's a dentist, Gene. She's a dentist."
He
showed me where he used to have that space, if you remember, in the old pictures.
Yeah, yeah,
he had
yeah.
braces.
Right.
Yeah. I had the space right here.
See, that's right around the time I met, I didn't go to the Blaze Fest with her, but I met, the first time I ever met Kiss ever was 92.
On my
birthday. And it was...
Oh, that's a good story.
Yeah, it was on November 5th. It was a revenge tour. My dad, yet again, my dad. It's so weird that he's instrumental in these like really monumental Kiss moments in my life, oddly enough.
Wow.
But called me up and took me to lunch and said, I got something for your birthday. And he pulls out these 2 tickets and are 4 seats for the revenge show.
Nice.
And I'm like, wow. He didn't even like go, I'll take whatever you got. He got me good seats.
Wow.
And me and a buddy of mine, Doug, who outside of Lee, I've probably seen as many concerts with this guy, it was my buddy Doug. And we went and I told him, I said, man, it's my 25th birthday. I'm going to meet Kiss. This is just going to happen. And before the encore was over, I said, let's go. I know where to get, because they may just get out of here and get in the van. And they didn't. They was having this little this after show party type thing. And for radio winners. And Man, I tell you what, it reminded me in Wayne's World, because the driver for their van gave like so much information. You know, it was like Wayne going, wow, why did he really give us all this unnecessary? Because he did. He told me where they were staying and
wow.
all this stuff. And I was like, look, I'm not crazy. I'm just a big fan. It's my birthday and I want to meet him. And he's like, well, if you can't meet them here, they're staying down here at this hotel. You know, he told me, and I was like, well, all right.
And I just had a vision of Chris Farley.
Yeah.
Here's where they're going.
Right.
That's where they're going to be.
Go through here and come back through here.
So they come out, and I remember Gene come out first, and I was just like you. I was just petrified because all of a sudden now I'm literally as close to him as I am to you guys. And all I can think of is this guy I have seen on stage and looked in magazines and it was like, this is really him. This is the guy. And I said, don't come off like a dumbass fanboy.
Try to be cool.
Yeah. And just tell him what you want to say and be articulate, but don't be all just like, so I remember me and my buddy Doug, we had snuck backstage and we got all the way behind Singer's drum set. I cannot believe.
Wow.
Yeah. And somebody's like, you're not supposed to be back here. And we're like all Chevy Chase-like in Fletch. How did we get back here, you know? Just taking a wrong turn.
The sky's up.
I'm John Constantin. So we get, as I'm walking out, there's this like pink sign and it says Kiss Dressing Rooms. And I just go, yank, rip it off the wall.
You took something off the wall.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
I know.
Yeah. I did the same thing at the fan club.
So I had a Sharpie on me. I even took the Sharpie with me because I knew that I was going to meet Kiss. And as soon as they will happen. So Gene comes walking out and I just walked up and I said, Gene, my name's Rick. It's my birthday. I'm 25. I've been seeing you since, you know, the 70s. I've never missed a show.
Bad boy.
And
But
I just felt like I needed to tell him all these things, you know.
Thank him.
And it was funny too because it reminds me of that he kind of had that look on his face where when he makes his eyes real big and goes and kind of shakes his head like shut up, you know. And he's like, "Okay. Calm down.
Goes,
what's your name again? And I said, Rick. And he goes, well, happy birthday, Rick. And he handed me a fistful of picks.
Nice.
And it was Paul's, Bruce, and his. And he goes, happy birthday. And then it was like, I got to meet Bruce and Eric, and they told me happy birthday, but I was just like, yeah. It's, you know, thanks, you know. So they got all in this van and took off, and then I'm like, well, Paul Stanley's next. And, I was like, fuck, I'm going to wait it out. It was freezing too, man. It was like fucking just Siberia cold. And then Paul Stanley comes running out and he's got like a robe on with a hood over it. And he jumps in the back of this like limousine.
Like the Phantom of the Park robe?
It was black, but yeah. So, it was like four of us left. Four people just kind of hanging on to meet Paul Stanley. And the guy runs over there and he goes, look, man, these fans want to meet you and everything. And they've been out here in the fucking cold. And Paul says, hold on a minute. And the window goes back up and he hands out this drum head. And it's got all, Kiss had signed it. I guess it had been for that party. And he goes, I only got one of these left. Give it who you think is the most deserving. And
it's my birthday,
right? So the guy walked up, he goes, well, Paul, you know, said he's sorry he can't meet, but he just got out of the shower and his hair's wet and it's freezing cold, and if he gets sick and it puts, you know, shows, you know, we can't do that. So he says, it's up to you, you know, it's up, you know, y'all figure out who gets this drum head.
Me.
But I'll tell you what though, the other three or four people that were there all said, this is really cool. They said, you know what, it's his 25th birthday, he deserves it. And didn't even
see
like
how the Kiss fans are.
Nobody was sour grapes about it, and I was just like in disbelief because, you know, I got the pics, I got the backstage sign, Gene signed it for me.
What a day.
Yeah,
it's
probably one of the best birthdays
right
ever.
Best day of my life.
Right. But every time I've met Gene, you know, beyond that or any other, it's still that same, you know, after I meet them, I'm just like, oh my God.
Well, when I met Gene, I didn't feel like I met Kiss yet because they didn't have the makeup on.
Right.
And when I did meet him with the makeup on for that fan club, I was just, that was me. I met Kiss
the first time I met Kiss was,
It was, intimidating.
It was for the release of Kiss Alive 3 at the Roxy. They were there signing just pictures or whatever you brought. Did you get to go to that? Were you here?
I wasn't here.
And they basically what happened was when you bought Kiss Alive 3, the person behind the counter went, do you have, I think it was like 3 pennies. Do you have 3 pennies? Oh. And I go, yeah. Why? And he goes, give me 3 pennies. And I gave him 3 pennies and he gave me the secret
get out
thing.
That's cool. Never heard of that.
Got to go to the Roxy. They're going to be there tonight.
Wow.
So, and it was...
now you're officially part of the Kiss Illuminati. And they
have, you know, and I can't, society.
You know, right. I can't remember if I'm remembering it correctly. I want to say there was the food there as well. Okay. I want to say there was food. And they were showing, like, the Kiss Alive 3 documentary. Was it Confidential?
Confidential.
Confidential with a K.
And I remember that was the first time I ever saw the video where that girl... That stripper chick is there, and she's got the hair on her backside, and Gene—you don't remember
peach
that?
Fuzz on her
peach
butt.
Peach fuzz on her butt, and Gene's touching it, and Paul makes this like,
oh,
face,
it's so
like,
funny.
Oh,
yeah,
it's
Paul
so gross.
Just goes.
But that so was the funny. First. That was the first time Paul Stanley at that event was wearing a cowboy hat that had some kind of feather in it. That hat, when I looked at it, this guy looked at me, and he goes. He goes, that hat costs more than a car.
Probably.
Did he look like Crocodile Stan Lee?
That's very good.
I liked in that Kiss Confidential where they're talking to the security guard named Bear.
Bear,
and
yeah.
Paul Stanley goes, and he's from somewhere down south, and there'll be these two girls wanting to get backstage, and he'll ask them questions like, do you girls know each other real well?
Yeah, remember when he was like rubbing his hands together. It was so funny.
Yeah, he's like, he's full of Southern charm when he's really full of Southern bull.
Yeah, I got that on VHS.
Yeah,
and they re-released it to DVD with two documentaries on it.
Oh, okay.
It was Confidential and
Extreme Close-Up.
Extreme Close-Up.
All the both together. I have them both on VHS.
Yeah, me too.
That's really amazing.
Time to upgrade.
Right.
Okay, so that brings us to the end of the Get to Know Ya episode one.
The Kiss Podcast Rock City meet and greet.
Yes.
It cost you nothing.
It cost nothing.
We actually pay you to come.
You got
to
give us 3 cents and you can meet us in person.
And before I go, I want to say a few things. Number one, please go and listen to other Kiss podcasts.
There's some really good ones.
I'll name a couple, and if you want to add some, I really enjoy Three Sides of the Coin.
Yep.
The Kiss Room.
Love Matt Porter's.
Matt Porter Rules.
Yep.
And I enjoy Kistery Science Theater. When those guys drink, it's amazing.
Be on that show.
together with them.
You won't remember it the next day. You'll be like, I said what?
Hiya,
are there any others that you can think of?
Podkissed. Creatures of the Net. A lot of them. I mean, and that's the whole thing. That's what I love about the podcast community, especially with the Kiss guys. Everybody's very supportive of everybody else. Nobody's bashing. Nobody's like, their podcast is no good. Or, you know, ours is better. Listen to us. Don't listen to them.
Everybody's got their own stories.
Absolutely. And like I say, you know, another big shout out, our friend Matt Porter. He does a great show, The Kiss Room. And
he has commented on almost everything.
He really does. He's promoted our show and everything, and we do the same with him. You know, good friend of the show and everything. So, you know, listen to us. Listen to other Kiss podcasts. It's the best kind of fan gathering that you get to hear all these really cool stories and opinions. And some of them, you know, you might not like. But.
Yeah, some of them, you know. And that's the other thing that I wanted to say. Go to podcastrockcity.com, to our website. We're going to have a section in there where you can tell us your story, how you got into Kiss. And tell us your story. I would like to be able to read a few of them.
Yeah,
cool.
And send pictures of like your Kiss collections or you wearing Kiss makeup or whatever.
Meeting the band.
If you have don't make up a story, but if you have a really great story, we do have a way. I'd love for you to be able to tell it on the show, and we do have ways of getting you on the air. And
we have ways.
We have ways. We know
it's
people.
The telephone.
We got your 3 cents. That's why Peter Criss used to write that three. He wanted that 3 cents.
Want my $2.
Then Gene was like, why not 3,000?
And we'll make the book 4 feet tall and 900 pounds.
Let's not even get into that.
As a matter of fact,
we will eventually.
On the way out, though, I will say this. We have an actual coffee table in the studio that is the size of that fucking book.
It's true. If you have the book and you live locally and you need a coffee table for it, I know personally that this table could be yours if you just come and pick it up.
Gene wanted to make it where the book folded out into a futon with all the
cushioned the pages.
And it was going to be all those pictures of those girls that he's had sex with, plus pictures.
Oh, Shannon made him burn them.
Shannon made him burn them. Remember? Right. We'll get into Shannon
and
another
his balls
time.
At the same
right,
time.
Right, right.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for being here. I hope you guys had a good time.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Awesome.
And here's your homework for the next show. Next show, we will be discussing the first 3 Kiss albums. Mm. What you like about them, what you don't like about them. Just basically talking about them.
Okay.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you guys had a good time. Please, please, please go to the website. Thank you to Fenario Productions. Luke is the man, as usual, running the board. He fell asleep 2 times. I did not get 3. Okay. That's good. We'll catch you guys the next time right here on
Podcast Rock City.